When you look at a diploma or a certificate, you just assume it means something real,
Oh,
right?
absolutely.
Like you see the official stamp and you expect the person holding it actually possesses the knowledge they claim to have.
Right. I mean, there's an inherent trust there. But, you know, that trust doesn't just happen by accident.
Exactly. And how a country actually guarantees that trust is, well, it's fascinating. So today we are taking a deep dive into the invisible machinery behind all that. Specifically, we're cracking open South Africa's Umalusi regulations to see exactly how they police independent schools and private exam boards.
Yeah, and for some context, Umalusi is the country's Council for Quality Assurance in Education.
Right. So if you value your own qualifications, or maybe you're a parent wanting to know a school is truly legitimate, our mission today is to show you how that standard is actually maintained.
Well, the first thing to understand is that you can't just, you know, rent a building, print some brochures, and suddenly call yourself a school.
That would be a disaster.
It's total disaster. So the regulations demand a very strict two-step sequence before an institution is truly recognized.
Okay, let's unpack this because it's not just one big rubber stamp, right? First, you have provincial registration, and then you need Umalusi accreditation. So, is this basically like getting a basic driver's license?
Which just means you're legally allowed on the road, yeah.
Right. Versus actually being certified as like an elite defensive driving instructor.
Yeah. That is a great analogy. To stretch that even further, getting that full certification takes time, so they offer provisional accreditation.
Like a learner's permit.
Exactly like a learner's permit, you're legally operating, but Umalusi is effectively sitting in the passenger seat for 2 years, making sure you fix your blind spots.
Oh, I see.
It gives a well-meaning school a path to improve rather than just, you know, shutting them down instantly for partial compliance.
That makes sense. So to get that full license, that full accreditation, how does Umalusi actually measure a school's worth?
They break it down into a timeline of the student's experience. So that's inputs, processes, and outputs. They don't just look at the final grades.
Okay, wait, break this down for me.
Sure. The inputs are the foundation. Like, do you actually have the right textbooks, safe facilities, qualified leadership? Then the processes.
That's the day-to-day stuff.
Right. How good is the day-to-day teaching and internal assessment? And finally, the outputs, which are the actual final exam results.
Okay, wait, I have to push back a little here. If outputs are the ultimate goal, doesn't this system just incentivize schools to become exam factories?
What do you mean?
Like, just churn out kids who can memorize and test really well just to keep the accreditation.
Yeah, that is a real risk, and the regulations actually anticipate that. If we get this to the bigger picture, especially Criterion 2 from the text, that's why those inputs and processes are weighted so heavily.
So it's not just about the math scores.
Not at all. A school has to prove it gives expression to an ethos promoting the South African Constitution. They have to prioritize physical safety, ensure strong leadership.
So if a school gets top marks but has a toxic culture or unsafe classrooms, they just fail the quality test.
Exactly. They are evaluating the entire ecosystem of the school.
Wow. Okay, so Umalusi ensures the school isn't just an exam factory, but ultimately, those exams still have to happen, right?
Right. Make it
And
in.
that creates a new problem. If the school isn't grading its own finals, who is? And I guess more importantly, who tests the testers?
That brings us to private assessment bodies. These are the organizations actually running the external exams. And let me tell you, the demands placed on them are intense.
I can imagine.
Yeah, for starters, they have to be independent juristic persons.
Meaning they are legally recognized standalone entities, not just like a side hustle run out of a school's basement.
Precisely. And they have to run a successful pilot exam before they get full accreditation. Plus, they must prove they have substantial financial surety.
Okay, so what does this all mean in reality? Let's say one of these exam boards goes bankrupt right before finals. The doors are padlocked. What actually happens to the kids who just spent years preparing?
Well, that financial surety acts as a fail-safe. If an assessment body collapses, Chapter 9 of the regulations outlines these massive withdrawal protocols.
Like an emergency extraction.
Kind of, yeah. Umalusi mandates immediate securing and transferring of all learner data. They swoop in to protect the students. The whole mechanism is designed to ensure not a single student loses their academic record just because a business failed.
That is wild. It means there is this massive invisible safety net operating underneath the entire education system. Behind every aha moment a student has, there are these rigid legal frameworks protecting the credibility of their hard-earned qualifications.
Yeah, if those mechanisms didn't exist, the paper your diploma is printed on wouldn't be worth the ink.
Truly. But I want to leave you with a fascinating tension to ponder. The regulations state that home education learners can write the National Senior Certificate.
Right. But only if they register with a recognized assessment center first.
Exactly. So think about that. How does a highly customized, individualized, home-based learning environment successfully adapt to meet the incredibly rigid, standardized requirements of these external assessment bodies? Is it a real clash between educational freedom and the strict need for certainty? Definitely something to chew on until next time.